I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, July 16th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Scammers. They'll go anywhere they see an opportunity, and right now they see a big one in semiconductors. With a global chip shortage making companies desperate to get their hands on the components, con artists are showing up with fraudulent schemes and selling fake chips. On today's show, our reporter Stephanie Yang will discuss how the schemes work and what it means for companies that get duped. That's after these headlines. Facebook says it will pay more than $1 billion to content creators on its social networks through 2022. The company said creators can receive payments for hitting certain milestones. It will also provide seed funding to help creators cover the costs of content production. But before you go looking to monetize your vacation pics, you should know the program, for now, will be invitation only. The move highlights how important videos, live streams, and other kinds of posts that drive engagement are to Facebook and its social media rivals. Snapchat, TikTok, and YouTube have all announced their own funds to support content creators. General Motors is advising owners of its previously recalled Chevy Bolt electric vehicles to park outdoors after two cars that had been repaired caught fire. The company didn't release details of what caused the fires, but said it was investigating the incidents. GM recalled nearly 69,000 Bolts from the 2017 to 2019 model years last November, saying the plug-in models were at risk of fires from their lithium-ion batteries. Batteries have proven to be a headache for other EV makers. Hyundai, Ford, and BMW have all issued recalls for new battery-powered models in recent months. And the world's largest contract chipmaker, Taiwan Semiconductor, reported an 11% jump in profit for the second quarter. Global demand for semiconductors has jumped since the start of the pandemic as more people purchase personal electronics during lockdowns. Taiwan Semiconductor says it's ramping up production of auto chips, which should help ease the shortage for car makers over the next few months. Speaking of the chip shortage, fake semiconductors are flooding the market. We'll take a look at how fraudsters are taking advantage after the break.
I'm Alex Yule, host of The Readback from Barron's. It's been an extraordinary year for stock markets, particularly for companies going public. IPOs soared, and they show no sign of slowing down. But the boom didn't come out of the blue, and there was plenty of pain on the road to IPO success. So how do you put a price on innovation? This season on The Readback, we'll find out. We're winding back the clock on a decade of IPOs, from Moderna and Facebook to Uber and Airbnb. The Readback is available wherever you get podcasts.
Semiconductors can be found in everything these days, from your coffee pot to your printer, your cell phone, and even your car. We've been talking on this show about how high demand during the pandemic has led to a global chip shortage. Well, now it's taken a more dubious turn. Fraudsters are selling fake chips to companies that are desperate to get the components to complete their own products. Joining us to discuss what's going on and what it means for the companies caught up in it is our Asia-based tech reporter, Stephanie Yang. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me about these scams. How do they work and who are they targeting?
Yeah, so an interesting wrinkle of the global chip shortage that's going on, kind of wreaking havoc with a lot of different manufacturers right now, is that the desperation that people feel trying to get these chips that are really hard to find right now is that they're running into fake parts, aka parts that don't work or that have been counterfeited. And so what that means is that they buy a part from perhaps a seller that they haven't tried out before, just because their usual go-to distribution channels are out. And then when they receive the part, they realize maybe the markings look off, you know, maybe they put it onto their board and it doesn't work, it results in a failure, and then they're left with a bad part.
How do these supply chains normally work?
So in normal times, when there isn't a shortage of chips, a lot of buyers buy directly from the manufacturers or from authorized distributors who are licensed to sell chips on behalf of the manufacturers. So the concern about getting fake or faulty parts isn't as high. Now what's going on is that a lot of those channels are not available to buyers, and so they have to venture out into secondary markets. They have to find new vendors, and with that comes greater risk.
All right, do we know who's behind these frauds?
Yes, so there is a US-based organization called ERAI, and they do a lot of fraud tracking in the electronic components industry. They have their own internal database of fraudulent or defective parts. So when someone gets a bad part, they are able to report it to them. So that when there's another buyer who maybe sees that part out on the market or receives a part of their own from a certain seller or a certain type, they can look at what's already been reported, and perhaps that raises some red flags. The group has also collected the names and aliases and websites of some known bad actors, and they said that a lot of them tend to operate out of Hong Kong. So we reached out to all of the websites that they had listed and they had flagged as high risk. Some of them were no longer functioning. Nearly all of them did not respond to us and our requests for more information. One of them, which ERAI said shared similar characteristics with known bad actors, did respond, only to say that they couldn't be bothered to provide any further information and that the innocent know their innocence.
Okay, so how do buyers know that they've received faulty chips? Is there some way to tell?
Because of all the uncertainty going on in the chip market right now, the demand for those kinds of testing services and capabilities has actually increased. So for example, there is one industry group that sells a manual that's about 250 pages long. And it goes through a very detailed list of what you can do to try and determine if a part is real or fake. That includes rubbing certain chemicals on the top of it to see if any of the markings rub off, or you can scrape at the top of a chip to see if potentially it might be an old chip that has been painted over and then remarked to look new. Another thing that has been on the rise is demand for x-ray machines that can actually look inside of the chip. And so what happens is that sometimes buyers will receive a chip that, you know, for all intents and purposes, looks like a little black box with little metal legs sticking out. And so you can't really tell what's on the inside of it. But what you can do is you can put it under an x-ray machine. And sometimes that'll show that the inside is completely empty or the circuitry looks nothing like it's supposed to. The most comprehensive and also the most expensive type of testing is called electrical testing, and that requires the specialized knowledge of an engineer to basically test the electrical signals to make sure that the chip is functioning as it should. And that can cost tens of thousands of dollars. Unfortunately, for some buyers, that means they're paying tons of money to prove that a $3 chip is working correctly.
And do we know anything about how the companies are reacting when they find out they've been scammed?
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges of digging into this counterfeit market is that the vast majority of bad parts go unreported. So experts who are in the industry and are having these conversations with companies have noted that essentially no one wants to be the person that got saddled with bad parts. So when these companies do find bad parts in the batch, they don't really tell anyone or try and bring any cases against anyone. They just essentially put all of their energy into screening to make sure that the parts that they do get are working.
So a lot of companies don't want to report, but for those who do, is there any recourse when they find out they have received faulty chips?
So it's very difficult to track down these scammers, which can kind of be seen by the very low number of criminal cases and convictions against counterfeiters. What they can do is they can report those bad parts to an industry group like ERAI, which then keeps its own log and is able to warn other buyers of potential problems down the line.
All right, I want to talk next about the impact of these fake chips. You know, what are the implications for the companies receiving them?
Yeah, so over the years, testing within the industry has gotten a lot better, according to experts. So some of these testing methods that are out there are pretty good at determining whether or not a chip is real or defective. So that has lowered the chances that a faulty chip goes into a finished product. However, there is still that risk. And so what happens, also contributing to a lag in reports, is that potentially an old or a bad chip will make its way into a product, seem to work okay for a little bit, and then fail earlier than it should. And so that can obviously result in issues for the company, which then has to figure out the manufacturing and where they got these parts from. For some industries, the fallout from having a chip malfunction, for example, aerospace, military and defense, medical, those consequences are significantly higher. And then at the same time, because, you know, there are more concerns about counterfeit chips out there, there's also increased demand for testing, which can be incredibly expensive. And so if people are paying more for testing to make sure that the chips that they struggle to find are real, that is going to end up being costlier for everyone.
Big picture, we know the semiconductor shortage has made buyers more desperate. How do these fake chips change the outlook for the chip shortage?
So I think that as the chip shortage eases, that will probably help mitigate some of these concerns because buyers who generally tend to get their chips from reputable distributors or directly from authorized distributors or even from the manufacturer itself, they will have those channels to buy from again. At the same time, these counterfeits tend to also follow in a wave of sorts after a big surge in demand. And so it is possible that down the line, you know, months or years from now, people could still be finding these bad parts as a result of the current surge.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now. That's our reporter, Stephanie Yang. Thanks for joining us, Stephanie.
Thanks so much.
Well, that's all for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for joining us, and have a great weekend.